the power of prayer. In Luke 18 and verse 1, the Bible says to us, and he told them a parable that they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. Always to pray and not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians in 5:17, the Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. There is incredible miraculous power in prayer. And I love some of the paraphrases that kind of give us a few more thoughts on that. We are to pray all the time. And we're to never stop praying. And this wonderful verse just tells us how often we should be praying, which is all the time. All the time. How often should we pray? We have a constant attitude of prayer. A constant attitude. So we're always in prayer, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing. And it tells us about the duration of our prayer all the time. Pray all the time. So it's really saying to me, we pray anytime, all the time. Interesting, Jesus said, when you pray, he didn't say, if you pray. He never put it as an optional. He said, it's part of your life. It's part of the breath and the to and fro of your life, the changing tides, tide coming in, tide going out. When we're always in prayer, and we don't pray to impress people. I love what it says in the Message paraphrase. It says, when you pray, don't pray in such a way that you're hoping for stardom. It says, do you think that God is in the box seat waiting to be impressed by you? Don't be theatrical, it says. When you pray, Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there simply and honestly as you can manage. Simple, honest relationship with God. In the paraphrase, Jesus went on to say, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They are full of formulas, programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. How good is that? That means we can all be people of prayer. It's so simple. Jesus gave us an incredible example of what we're talking about. We find that a great while before dawn, in the morning, he went out and he departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And I think that if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, needed to draw aside to pray, if he needed to, what makes me think that I could be doing life differently? How much more do I need to pray? Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And I like to think of this, that Jesus was not meaning just literally a room to go into, He's talking about having a place. He's talking about there's a place in our heart where we are in constant communion with God. A place set apart. So you can pray on a beach. Better if it's deserted. Jesus himself didn't go into a room when he got up a great while before dawn and went and found a place. He was not in a room. He was out in the hills. He was out praying somewhere, having communion with God. I can pray when I'm walking. I often do. I can pray when I'm driving my car. I do suggest you don't close your eyes on that one when you pray. I can pray as I'm driving. Because you see, our prayer is in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. We pray prayers that are unsaid, but they're in the heart and they're in the mind. And many times God will hear our prayer before we've even stated it, because it is, in its desire, a prayer in itself. There's a great key that Pete Gregg shares in his 24/7 aspects and videos on prayer. And he said, the best advice I ever received when it comes to prayer is simply this: keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. So if you want to learn to pray, there's the three keys for you. Keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. Keep on praying. And there's a wonderful little acronym. And if you don't know it, I want to leave it with you today. You know that when I've been here before, I love my acronyms, because they're ways that we can just take something with us wherever we are. And I'm going to share this little acronym with you, and it's so powerful, because prayer is something you do in 1 minute, and this acronym you can do in 1 minute. You can do it in 15 seconds, maybe the minimum. You can do it in 5 minutes. You can do it for 1 hour. You can do it for a whole day. You can do it in a prayer meeting. And here's what it is. The simple acronym is the word pray. Pray. The P reminds us to pause. And Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Isn't it a great thing to just come to a pause? Amen? Don't we need that? Our minds are sometimes racing ahead and planning ahead and involved in much activity. If you're a young person like me, there's lots to be done, lots to be achieved. The to-do list is a growing list every day. But this reminds us to just pause, to just stop. And that's not just stopping our activity, it's stopping the voices in our head. Lord, I just pause. I become aware of your presence, that you are with me. I present myself to you. It's about being present with God, and suddenly, if you haven't been, suddenly aware that God is there. And then to rejoice. The R is to rejoice. Philippians 4 verse 4, say it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. And just bring our heart to rejoice in God. Rejoice in who he is. Lift him up in adoration. He's holy. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has power. ultimate power. And in this time, we're just lifting him up. Thank you for your omnipotent power. Thank you, Lord, you're omnipresent. You're always with me. Lord, I just rejoice in who you are. Thank you, you're omnibenevolent. Lord, you're my provider. I just rejoice in that. And I rejoice in what you've provided in my life. And I rejoice in the things that are around me. And I rejoice in all the things that I'm thankful for every day, to rejoice in him. And then to ask. And these are just like little dance steps, you know. You know when you do dancing, if you're a good dancer, you have sort of steps that you do. But if you're really good, you'll do a little bit, yeah, a bit different here, a bit different there. You're not always tied into one formula. It's just a little bit of a dance steps, a bit of a guideline on how to do it. And at first it feels a little bit rigid, but after a while it just flows. And that's what I love about this. And I can do this when I'm just walking in my room. I can walk up to the end of this room and just become aware of his presence. I can walk back and just rejoice in him. I can walk back again, and now I'm beginning to ask him. And I can walk back again, and I can just be yielding to him. You know, it's as simple as that. Isn't that simple? Isn't that so simple? And you can never forget this. Pray. Pray. See, I can even remember it without looking at it. It's wonderful. And so now I'm beginning to ask in the name of Jesus. And I'm beginning to bring my requests to God. Bring the things that are on my heart. You can have a prayer list. And I have that as well. But sometimes I like to go right away from my prayer list. And sometimes I like to go right away from the acronym of PRAY and just enjoy God and let him lead me in prayer. There's no set way to pray. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple. The simpler you can make it, the better. So I just ask him the things that are on my mind. And I love what it says in the Amplified Bible, because it does bring out what the Greek actually says. It's in the present tense. I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to ask and keep on asking. I'm going to seek and I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to knock and I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm not going to give up in prayer. Jesus said, pray and don't give up. All men and people ought always to pray and not give up. And then we come to the yield. Lord, I just yield in your presence. Matthew 6, verse 10 says, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is my chance to yield to him. A great verse you can tie in with that is in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wonderful, isn't it? And we just pause to yield before we go out into our day, or while we're in our day. Lord, I'm just yielding my life to you. This is the act of surrender. This is the act of listening. This is the act of saying, Lord, I've been praying, but as I'm listening now, is there an action that you want me to take? If you have your Bibles, look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 for a moment, and we read about, and if you don't have it, you'll be able to follow what I'm saying. A man had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah had no children, but there were things happening in her heart because of this. Says the Lord had closed her womb. You know, many times there are things that we want to see happen and come to birth, and we haven't seen them yet. And we have this great cry in our heart, like she had. In verse 6, we find that she was miserable. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was miserable. She was provoked severely by her adversary. In verse 7, it says that she wept. In verse 8 of 1 Samuel 1, it says that her heart grieved. So there's an incredible problem in a situation that exists in the life of Hannah. But she did something that you and I need to do in those situations. And it's found in verse 11. She prays. She talks to God. And I love to say, don't go to the phone first. First, go to the throne. Go to the throne. Talk to God about everything that concerns you. Every anxiety, every situation. Just keep lifting it up to in prayer to God. And she said, Lord, do not forget me. But she said, if you will answer this prayer, I will give the answer to you for the rest of Samuel's life. It was in this case. When you give the answer, Lord, I'm going to give it back to you. And I'm going to praise you. And having prayed, it says, I'm just quoting these things rather in a hurried fashion. But it says, when she had prayed, it says in verse 18 that her face was no longer sad. She went her way and she ate and she just had a joy in her heart because she knew she had brought it to God who would miraculously work on her behalf. I wish we would all do that sometimes. We think that we're the answer when really we're not the answer. God is the answer. God is the answer to every situation in our life. There'll be things that we will do in cooperation with him, but he is the answer. He will guide us and he will lead us. And finally, when God answered her prayer, you know, she was able to say, my heart rejoices in God. My mouth is enlarged over my enemy. No one is holy like the Lord. So all prayer brings us back to worship and back to God himself. Because it comes from God, it's in God, and it's offered back to God. And history records for us lots of times of where God has answered prayer. George Mueller, great man of prayer, he wanted to prove something to the world. He wanted to prove that you could talk to God only and God will answer without you telling any of your needs to them. Now, there are times to tell people about your need, but he needed money to run an orphanage through which many thousands of children went through. And he went to prove that just by prayer alone that God would provide. And God did provide so much money. And the needs that they had. You know, one day he had all the children assemble for breakfast. And as they came down, they said, oh, excuse me, Mr. Mueller, but we've got no food to give to the children. There's no food's arrived. We have no food here. And George Mueller said, look, just sit them down around the tables. And then he began to pray. He thanked God for the food that they were about to receive. Even though there was no food in the place. Moments later, there was a knock at the door. Opens the door, and there was a baker. The baker said, I've been unable to sleep. He said, I felt strongly that the orphans would need bread. So he said, I got up and I baked some. And here it is. So they're praying and thanking God even before the food's appeared, and suddenly it's there. Provided through human means, but provided by God, who had prompted someone to do that. They needed milk. Here's a photograph, by the way, of George Mueller. They needed milk for the same breakfast. What should happen? A cart carrying milk broke down right outside the orphanage. The milkman gets out of his cart and he knocks on the door. And he said, I've got a whole lot of milk here. He said, it's going to spoil. Would you like it? And through the door came the milk that they needed for breakfast as well. You see, there are many cases in history and in George Mueller's life and many other great saints, and in your life, where God has provided according to his word. There is miraculous power in prayer. There is power for the small things and the large things. Nothing is beyond his care. And that's why the Bible says, cast all of your care upon him, because he cares for you. It's one of those great statements. God cares for you. The small and the large. And I'm encouraging you today to come to a great God and ask of him. Ask for souls. Ask for people that are in your family that need help. When you have needs for yourself, ask for help. 51 years ago today, I married this girl here. I know I didn't actually. That was an engagement. I did marry her, yes. That's her. But that's the engagement. She's got her engagement ring proudly on show there. You probably can't see it, but she's wearing it today.
No.
She hasn't. But she's still got it and she wears it. I don't wear a wedding ring. You know what? I lost my wedding ring. I replaced it with another one. It's never the same as the original. I just wear that ring instead. But I have got it and I wear it sometimes, but it hasn't got the same feel as the original. 51 years ago today, and I want to just close our sharing time today by telling you about the incredible faithfulness of God in our life. And the incredible way that God provides in our life and has done over the years. We were a young family. We had twins, and so we had four children under the age of five. Can you imagine that? And I was involved in a large church and was very busy, and my wife deserves multiple gold medals for how she worked so hard, and she still does. We both work hard. We don't believe in retirement. Nobody really retires, do they? They just keep living and doing things differently. We had constant financial needs with five children under the age of five. Can you imagine that, Eric? We had five.
Four.
We had four children under the age of five. Amazing. And, you know, I reckon I'd just do this today because I'm going to get Kathy just to close out the time by sharing a little story. Would you like that?
Yes.
Yep. It's once they hear Kathy, they want Kathy, not Steve. You know what I mean? They used to talk about the pastor's wife. When they hear Kathy, they talk about the pastor's husband. So tell them about those two incidents, Kathy, from our life.
Yeah.
That'd be great. This is Kathy King. Give her a warm welcome, everybody. Kathy King. Amazing, amazing girl.
Well, we had no money. Steve was pastoring and we
had some money.
We had some money.
Yeah.
But we had no money for clothes or anything like that, and very little for food. And I remember saying to the Lord one day, Lord, we need some food. And I went to the mailbox, and there in the mailbox was probably about $60 in those. And in those days, that was a lot of money. So the Lord provided what we needed, which was to go to the supermarket, buy some food. Another time after that, again, we were really, really scrambling to put together. We budgeted everything so we could afford. And went to church, Christchurch, New Life. And there was a family there. And this particular family, the guy was an owner of a supermarket. And he walked up to me on Sunday morning and said, Kathy, I want you to come down. It was on Sunday. I want you to come down to our supermarket this week. And I won't tell you how much he said. I couldn't get. But he said, I want you to walk around the supermarket and you can get this amount of food. It was like an incredible answer to prayer. Incredible answer to prayer. So I went around, had the trolley, walked all the way around, filled it right up, and went to the checkout. They put it through and they said, "That's not even half the amount. Go round again." So I went around the second time, filled it right up, went to the checkout, and they said, "Go a third time." So three times, you know, back in those days, like that was weeks of food. See, the Lord sees the things we need. He sees our heart. And sometimes we just say, "Lord, I need this." And he hears us and he answers.
Amen. So let's pray together.